The following show is intended for a mature audience.
Nope, not for the kids.
So if you're underage...
Go to bed.
Easily offended...
Get over yourself.
Or you got a gigantic stick up your...
Oh, that's completely inappropriate.
You might want to go do some needlepoint or something.
It's the Jethel Silverwing Show on online gaming radio.
It's time to kick your feet up, tune in and waste some time. You're gonna wait 2 hours on Jethel's show tonight.
Hey there, dwarf!
Hey, Jesus!
It's like a tragic tale, all the crazy things he makes us
well,
do.
Well, I'm just glad I got my ale.
This is the Jethel Silverwing Show for December 7th, 2010. I am your host, Jethel Silverwing. With me, as always, my love, my girl, my wife, the burning of my loins, the tailor of fine armors, the baker of fine cookies, and the reason we have a mature on this morning at the top of the show, Atlanta!
Hail and greetings. You need to breathe. You really do.
You just like hearing me breathe.
If you'd like to join in on the mayhem, you can hop on to the in-game chat channel, guk.ogr, which is up and running 24/7, where the OGR elite come to meet. If you'd like to download any of our skits, interviews, Jethel's parodies, Elkman's videos, and much, 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 much more, you can find them at kithacore.org. How are we doing today, Elkman?
Doing good.
Yeah, your day was probably better than mine. Our router blew up in my face. Well, not in my face, so to speak, but blown router makes for no internet. Was not fun.
Not my fault.
It is your fault.
And it wasn't the router itself, was it?
Well, according to our buddy Greg, not Greg Spence, who was our guest in just a few minutes, but our buddy Greg, the tech guy, according to him, he's... I explained the weird noises it was making and stuff, and he says it sounds like the firmware got wiped in a power spike when I turned the power back on to the house.
Leave it to you.
But he says it should be recoverable, but it's not something I can really do. Not something he'll be able to walk me through. So you bring it to work tomorrow, he'll take care of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, as I've been announcing on Facebook, Twitter, kithacore.org, and anywhere else that won't ban me.
Street corner,
on
down
the street
the road.
Corner, shouting it from the rooftops. Get out of my freaking show! This week we have lead programmer for EverQuest 2, Greg Rothgar Spence. Yay! Yay! Hello, Greg.
Hey there. How's it going?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. Get someone at Sony to come on the show, Elkman.
I know. We paid them enough, right?
I hope so.
Okay.
You do know that we bribe the folks at Sony with fudge every year, right?
Fudge.
Yeah. It's not any old fudge either.
It's Elkman's evil fudge.
Evil triple chocolate fudge. There you go. Thank
there
you.
There we go.
It's so big I couldn't even get it out of my mouth.
And if you want the recipe to Elkman's evil triple chocolate fudge, you can go to kithacore.org, click on Elkman's pages. Click on Elkman's pages, and you'll see a link there for a triple chocolate fudge. It's actually kithacore.org/fudge.
You almost couldn't say it.
I can say anything. It's my show. I'll say anything I want. Okay. Today, we had the lead programmer, EverQuest 2, Greg Spence, Hrothgar. Most people know he has a little halfling band, band leader.
Right, which actually has nothing to do with my dev handle.
Really? So that's not you?
No, those were just two completely different happenings.
Oh, wow. I thought that was your... Nobrin has his little drinks and stuff like that, and Domino has a dancing halfling in the community lounge.
There were a couple newer things, I think, that they used my dev handle for, like the personal music jukebox, I think. There's a one like that. But that particular one in Kaladin was just something that Tony Garcia did, because he's a big Van Halen fan, so he was making a play on David Lee Roth, Sammy Hagar's name.
Ah, gotcha. All right, well...
Yeah, the band that you can call up, the one that you've got, Fallens. Jethel?
Yeah.
Yeah, they sell the little music thing with Hrothgar's name on it, if I remember right.
Yeah, let me bring those guys up here. Calling the band. Let's see.
We had to get him that, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so we have Domino's theme, Jindrak, Kander's, Lava Storm, Hrothgar. Hrothgar's theme.
And I should claim my Jester's hat. From Legends of Norrath, I ended up getting a Jester's hat off one of my free cards.
Oh, that's cool.
So when you bring the band up, I'll do that, and I forgot what that brings up. I think that brings up Bristledane, and he dances and stuff. Total party.
Mm-hmm. All right, now we have some questions from the players, and a lot of them.
Well, can we hold off on those?
Yeah, we can hold on. Now, let's talk about Christmas lights.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you've started... Was this your first year on those?
It was my first year doing something animated to music.
Right. Now, in the last few years, we've seen a lot of viral videos around the Christmas time. People animating their Christmas lights with a computer and setting it to music. You've started doing it this year.
Yeah.
I've seen your stuff on YouTube and posted to Facebook. And you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
You've got two songs so far?
No, I've got four. I'm up to four right now. Yeah, and I'm still looking to add a couple more before the season's over if I get the time to do it.
Well, let's see. That's YouTube. What's your YouTube handle there?
It's gspence74. G-S-P-E-N-C-E 74.
And that's on YouTube?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, there they are. So if anyone wants to check those out after the show, you know, don't do it now, but after the show.
So you have four videos up too?
Yeah, I've got four videos, one of each song.
Killer. I've only seen two of them so far, so I'll have to catch up.
Yeah, check them out. Let me know what you think. It was a lot of fun doing it.
How many strings of lights did you end up buying? Because I watched you do your little Twitter things once in a while, and you're off to go get more. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, it never seemed like I had enough, and I was always going back to the store to buy just a few more, and my wife was always looking at me funny, like, do you really need more lights? I think I ended up somewhere around maybe 25,000 individual bulbs.
Wow.
Which isn't the biggest of displays. I mean, if you look around, there's lots of people with many more. But, you know, it's my first year doing something animated like this. I'll probably be adding more every year, but I don't want it to look too crazy. I still want it to look nice, so
this is your start.
It's just been fun.
Well,
yeah.
What you're doing so far looks fantastic. I can't wait to see what you come up with, you know, as you continue with it.
Did you pull up to the check out with one of those, your basket just overflowing with Christmas light strings?
Oh yeah, one of my trips to Walmart, I had a basket with like three of the cases right off of the shelf in there, so I got some funny looks with that one.
And, oh, that must have been...
It was pretty good. And another funny one, I was at Home Depot one day, and this was like maybe 3 weeks before Thanksgiving. It was way early, and Home Depot had just put out all their Christmas lights. I couldn't even believe that their stuff was out that early, and I was like, well, I've got some stuff I need to do, so maybe I'll buy some. So I got some really funny looks buying them that early. They were kind of like, and it was funny because the lady checking me out was looking at me like I was odd for buying the lights, and I'm like, you guys are the ones who put them out. You want to not sell them or what?
Oh, exactly. I mean, you're going to put them out, may as well buy them. And, right. You know, so, especially with a project as large as what you're doing, get them, you know, soon, get them often, and get them quick, and make sure they work before Christmas comes.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to all the sales after Christmas, where I can go buy more lights for next year.
More lights!
Oh,
now,
God.
Is this some sort of board that you bought or you made to control all the lights? I mean, I have no clue. I mean, I've got an idea, but I have really no clue. But some sort of board that you put them all in, or?
Yeah, I'm using a product that's out there that a lot of other people are using as well. It's from a company called Lightarama, and they make these controller boards that each can control up to 16 channels of lights individually. So I bought two of those this year, and so I can do 32 separate channels, and I'll probably add two more next year and do some more things. But yeah, it's pretty cool. You can check out their website and see what it takes to get started, and it's a lot of fun.
So each channel controls a string of lights.
That's right, or multiple strings. You can put as many lights as you want on a single channel as long as you don't kind of go over the amperage rating for that channel.
Okay, but right. It runs, but it controls all the lights on that one channel, I mean, on one string.
Exactly.
So, on or off, okay.
Right.
I'm just trying to get
it. Yeah, when I first started seeing the viral videos out a few years ago, I took a look at the... at what you had to buy, and it's like, back then it was several thousand dollars. Well, what is it now? How much does that thing run you?
It's come down. I mean, you can certainly spend several thousand overall by the time you get lights and controllers and all the other stuff, but you can, you know, start out smaller. The controller boxes, I think, are around $300 a piece, and then you got to add on, you know, some other things after that. So, yeah, I think first time I saw somebody do one was a few years ago myself, and my first thought was, oh, my God, I've got to do that. That is so cool. But, you know, it's like procrastinating, and you have to order the stuff in the middle of the summer in order to get it and have it ready. So,
right.
You know, every year goes by, and I think, man, I really want to do that, but never got around to doing it. And we always go out of town back home for Christmas too, so there was never a really good time, but last year I kind of set my mind to it. I was like, okay, I'm going to stop procrastinating, I'm going to actually do it this year. So I went ahead and bought stuff over the summer.
That's great. You're doing a great job.
Oh, thanks.
And of course, I'm all excited. Before we went on the air, Greg's asked me which one of my Frostfell songs that he thinks he should use.
Yeah, I thought that'd be awesome. When I was putting together the display, I was like, man, I gotta pay homage to EQ2 somehow. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if I wanted to build some kind of light display, and I couldn't really think of anything to do light-wise, so I thought, well, I should at least do some kind of song or something, and the first one, obviously, that came to mind was one of your many awesome Frostfell songs I thought would be perfect.
Well, for something peppy, I would think the 12 Days of Frostfell was probably gonna be your best one there.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice.
Now, what I think
you
ought to do...
something you can grow into, maybe, eventually, is here comes Agathon, and you'll have to make a display of a dragon out there.
That'd be cool.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Actually, I was just going to recommend. I mean, it probably couldn't be too hard to do. I don't know if you got time, you know, in your off time, but I think you could probably come up with a lighted EverQuest 2 logo.
Yeah, pretty something easily. Like that. Something like that wouldn't be too bad. I still like her idea of doing, like, you know, a life-size wire Nagathon.
That would be great. Next year.
That'd be great. And then use Here Comes Nagathon. I mean, if you did it right, you could even have it, you know, breathe flames.
Yeah, that
would be totally. Lights. Oh, man, now you're getting me going.
This is for next year. This is going to be wonderful to watch your display grow, because we're all going to be watching. And yeah. as EverQuest players learn of this, they're going to start, you know, checking out your videos. So you'll have a bigger crowd next year watching.
Yeah, maybe so.
Oh, yeah.
Something cool.
Most definitely.
That's going to be awesome.
It's going to be great.
I just can't imagine the amount of money you've spent on Christmas lights.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as you might think. I mean, it's probably more than most people spend, but it didn't break the bank.
It's so. Still, you can get some lights fairly cheap, you know.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm not trying to plug Walmart or anything, but their lights, their strands of like 100 lights are only $2.50 a piece. So
yeah, true.
That goes a long ways.
So it's going to be great. So I got to check out your other videos, and then when you do the one to Jethel's song, you'll have to let us know so we can plug the heck out of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I definitely want a video of that one.
for sure.
And here. I can't remember what I was going to say. That's all right.
Well, I'm glad you finally decided, you finally, you know, jumped in and did it.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Let's see, I want to check the chat channel here and see if Lyra, the not a Frostville elf...
We haven't seen her around.
Actually, I saw her a few days ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm. No, she's not on right now. A little bit later on, because Frostville started earlier than I thought... Actually,
surprise!
Yeah, I'm going to hold off as long as I can, but we do have two new Frostville songs for... We do have two new Frostville songs for this year, and one of them is about Lyra. So I'm going to try to hold off as long as I can, but I am going to be releasing those today, and they will be on the website. I believe one of them already is, the other one is not. But I'll get those up on the website. We'll do those later on. Before we go any further, we normally do announce birthdays, and we do have two to announce. This week... I'm not sure of the person's character name, but the name is Jason Olin. Has a birthday this week. And Santania of the Legion of Kithakor. His birthday is this week. Is tomorrow, actually. So happy birthday to Santania and Jason. And just for you guys, here come the birthday trolls!
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you!
That's next week.
Okay.
Okay, so happy birthday to you two. I'm sure there are many more, but I just don't know about them.
We got Ched last week, right?
Yes, we got Chedrella last week.
Okay, I'm just checking. Yep. Just checking.
I made sure of it. Okay. Now, we have some questions for the lead programmer of EverQuest 2 from our listeners. I posted on Facebook, Twitter, and of course on kithacore.org for people to ask questions. So let's try to knock some of these out.
Maybe all right, no pressure.
So, he may not be able to answer some of these. Some of these questions may be coming up, and he can't talk about them, or maybe he just doesn't know. So there's no conspiracy here, you know. Okay, so let's see here. Giant Man asks, let's see. First off, commenting on your Christmas lights. Hey, cool effects with the lights, Hrothgar. I was wondering, if I were to play EQ2 extended thing, would I be able to play with Jethel and Elquin or not?
If he were to play on EQ2 extended, were he to be able to play with you guys?
I think the official word on that is no, actually. You have your own servers, right?
That's right. So, yeah, unfortunately... You guys wouldn't be able to play together because those are two different rule sets, and there currently aren't any capability to play across them for now, but who knows what might happen in the future. There aren't any plans for anything like that, but you never know what might change.
Right. Now, unless, of course, they wanted to upgrade to a full account of EverQuest 2, then they get moved over to a regular server.
No, actually, that's not true. They would stay. Oh. They would stay on extended. Now they can upgrade. They can upgrade to a full account and purchase a gold or platinum subscription on extended. But you wouldn't move across, and that's basically because on the extended server, the marketplace has more items than we would normally put on a
right.
other server.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of like the whole PvE versus PvP thing.
Right.
You know, we don't want there to be issues between players that feel like. Some people had an easier time leveling up on one server versus another because of the difference in marketplace items and that sort of thing. But
gotcha.
You know, who knows what could happen in the future. But for now, we don't allow a transfer back.
Okay.
But when they upgrade, they're more than welcome to go create a character
right.
on one of the other servers, right?
Sure. Yep.
Yep. You have to start all over on that server, but you know that's what happens when you go to a
yeah.
server. But you yeah. know that the extended gives people a chance to play the game. To little to no cost until they decide they like it.
Right. We hope that will expose the game to many more people, and we still have more marketing that we need to do to drive people towards the game. It's been pretty successful so far, but our marketing department is definitely hard at work on the next round of marketing initiatives, and we're really trying to see what we can do to drive more people towards that server, because they'll definitely get in, and we know a lot of people will like it and stick.
Need a commercial. To get somebody like they had William Shatner for a while. What about getting Leonard Nimoy for EQ too?
That would be awesome.
I'm Leonard Nimoy, and I'm an elf.
Or either that, or one of the new Star Trek guys. Who plays the Spock now? I forgot.
Oh, it's the guy from Heroes? Heroes. Yeah, the guy from Heroes.
Why not?
Name.
Although I couldn't see him doing a wood elf. I could see him doing a dark elf. That dude's just creepy.
Ooh, that would be cool.
He's
creepy. Him as a dark elf?
Oh, or Uriel on the channel here is saying Christopher Lee. Since he does the voice for Lucan, have Christopher Lee do a little commercial spot.
Oh, that would be good. Simon Pegg. He would probably do it.
Yeah, that would be funny.
That would be hilarious. I love that guy. But, of course, I like his movies, too.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to the next question for you here. Matharius of the Antonia Bale server asks, what became of the village of Mar and Busheldown? I guess from his description here, they were the first cities of EverQuest 1. They were like pre-beta cities, that kind of thing.
Man, I have no idea. That one stumps me for sure. And I played EQ1 in beta too, but that was so long ago.
Yeah.
I really don't remember those cities. So, yeah.
So
I'm not sure.
So the answer is, doesn't know. Okay.
They're in somebody's back pocket, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be.
But God, I don't even remember. Those were back in the beta? In EQ2 beta?
He says here that they were the first cities.
Wow.
Ironheart. Okay, Mysterious is saying Ironheart Castle. Ironheart Castle.
I don't even remember those.
Yeah, I don't either. That's from EQ1?
I guess so. That's, I have no idea. I don't know.
They're not talking about the,
What, the tutorial castle?
Yeah, the little tutorial thing when you first started EverQuest, before you got into the main servers, it was
That's what
I
was
thinking.
A separate
little area,
It was actually a separate program entirely.
I know. It was a separate... You weren't even connected
to
the servers at all.
Matthias is saying it was EQ2, actually, not EQ1. Hmm.
Really? Because we were in beta in EQ2, and I don't remember any of the little cities. But then we were too little to really go out anywhere, either.
Yeah. I don't...
Yeah, I'm not sure on that one. That one doesn't ring a bell.
Okay.
Wow.
So we're going to have to leave that one at don't know. Let's see. What else we got here? Santania writes... I guess there's no music in the Hollis housing. And she would like to know when that's going to be fixed.
That is a good question. I was not aware there was no music in Hollis housing, but I'm going to open up my little notepad right here and make a note of that. And while I can't answer when it would be fixed, I will definitely bring it up and find out if that's something they can take a look at.
Well, keep that notepad out. I'm sure we'll be bringing up a lot of stuff that you might...
your notepad, by the way.
Notepad, okay. Fix this.
It's the power notepad.
Yeah,
right.
Like, fix this. Oh, that's a good idea. We may implement that. You know, that kind of thing. Let's see. Chedrella. Well, actually, I think you already answered this one. She says, hey, Rothgar, how did the band, The Burglars, land that choice gig playing Fippy Darkpaw the Fourth layer under Kinos? But I think you already mentioned that. That's had nothing to do with you.
Right, right. Yeah, that was something that Tony Garcia worked on when he was here.
That burglar band gets around town, because they're over in Caledon, way deep in Caledon.
Yeah.
And then down in the sewers... And I have a key to get, I have a coin to get in there, and I can't think of the spot. But yeah, that's where Flippy Doc Parr the Fourth.
Yeah.
Is that?
Okay.
Right.
So
that's the place I keep telling you I need to take you to. You've never been in there.
Where to see Fippy?
Yes.
Yeah.
The
yes, I was just in there not too long ago doing a heritage quest.
Okay, you finally got in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Crow's Bar is what Chedorella says it is.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Next one. Everyone's favorite Pretty Pink Faye, Win Win. wants to know if she is tearing the lettuce correctly and that you would know what she meant by that.
No, I think she's still tearing lettuce incorrectly, and she's going to need to work on that.
Okay, I'm assuming that is some kind of a inside joke.
Yeah. I gave her a hard time one time when she was trying to make a salad, and she was trying to tear up some lettuce, and I don't even remember what she was doing. She was doing it all wrong. I was like, no, you need to learn how to tear up lettuce.
I have an announcement to make.
Oh, an announcement. All right, go ahead.
Lyra is in the house.
Lyra has stepped into the building. Okay, so when I do the Frostfell songs later on, she'll be there to squee. Gotta be one of the weirdest words to come into the language in a while. Squee.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see. What's next here? Tendo of the Legion of Kithakor would like to know. I don't think this is your department. I'm wondering why my account error is out. It's happened twice and it's making me sad. That's not your department.
No, generally not. All the account-related stuff is handled by one of our global departments, since the accounts are, across all of our games. So it could be something related to their particular account, unless it only happens in EQ2. And if that were the case, then it might be something in our area. But either way, I'd have to have more details to answer something like that. But I hope he gets it worked out, because that doesn't sound cool.
Yeah, he was in a couple days ago, so yeah, he's gotten it worked out since then. Or it may be a intermediate problem, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But either way, that's really not your department. Let's see here. Sosumya, I'm going to have to assume that's on the Japanese servers, would like to know, what is it like being a player with those special moments like digging to level 50. So,
here's one of those other inside joke things, actually.
Oh, okay.
He's an old guildmate of mine from EQ2.
Ah.
And he always has to give me a hard time because we leveled up together all the time. And when Desert of Flames came out, we were still working on getting to 50, and we were adventuring in Sinking Sands, and we had been playing all day long trying to get to 50. And I can't remember what the situation was. I think I might have had relatives in town or something like that. And we had promised them we were going to take them out to eat. So I had to log out of EQ2. And I was been playing all day. Didn't really want to log out. But he said, well, just go on auto follow. And, I'll run around and get some XP for you while you're gone. And I thought, okay,
famous.
I'll give that a shot. Yeah,
famous so last words.
I get home from eating and rush to get to my computer. And I found that he had dinged me level 50, the Holy Grail at the time. I had wanted 50 so bad, and he dinged me while I was gone.
Aww.
And auto-following him. So he screenshotted it for me, so now he won't let me live it down that, he gained my level 50 for me while I was away.
Lyra says it's not Frostfell yet, and I hate to tell you this, Lyra, it started today.
I'm out there harvesting.
I'm in the Frostfell instance right now myself, and I'm looking at Sandaglug, and he gave me a sack of coal, that little bastard.
Oh, I can't wait to get his sleigh, though.
Yes, that does look sweet.
I got my 8 reindeer all set up.
Okay, I got a couple of tells here. Spiders from the Lucan Delair server has a question. Is the bridge in the Palace of Rowan there, the bridge in the Palace of Rowan ever going to be fixed?
The bridge that kills people when you run across it.
I've never actually been there, so
wait a minute, let me make a note never to go across that bridge.
It
yeah.
kills people?
Got
How
it.
Was that?
Yeah, so there's some kind of issue with this bridge, and we've looked into the problem. It's a very difficult problem to reproduce. In fact, I don't think we've really successfully been able to reproduce it internally. And I think a lot of it has to do with lag. You're running across a bridge, which is actually a transport, so that makes it a little bit more complicated right there. And then on top of that, the bridge is a ramp leading up. So your character's constantly running into the slope, and the client, during periods of lag, could potentially put you through the ramp, as you can imagine, if it tries to run you straight, but the ramp is going up.
Right.
And so I can only imagine that in some situations that you are getting underneath the bridge and then you fall and hit the death plane.
Right.
So we've tried to make some changes to this thing to keep you from dying. And I thought that the, I thought it was fixed as of last time I looked into it. I wasn't aware that people were still dying on it because they apparently removed the death plane. So, if that's not the case, then I'll try to resurrect it again and see if there's still an issue.
Well, perhaps.
So there's a safety net underneath it now.
Yeah, there's normally a death plane underneath every zone, so that if somehow you fall through the world and you fall far enough, you hit that and you die and you, you know, revive someplace else.
Right.
And it especially needs one in that raid, though, because you're on all those transports on that disco floor and you can fall through, so instead of being stuck under there, you need to hit the plane, the death plane. But it appears to be catching people on that bridge, and so I thought we had it fixed, but I'll look into that.
Alright. And I...
Any way to make a port plane where it puts them back to the bottom of the ramp?
Yeah, something like that is doable.
That's an idea, then.
It's an idea. I mean, to even instead of killing them off and making them, you know... Unless that's part of the challenge, to get across the bridge without dying, but I think I remember hearing about this one. You fall through it.
Well, the death plane is there. It's not something people are supposed to hit. But it's there as like safety net. A death net.
The death net.
The death net.
Dun, dun, dun. Anyway, and I do have a question here that the person would like to remain anonymous. would Rothgar comment on the San Diego Chargers' chances this year to make the Super Bowl? And secondly, why are the Patriots so much better?
Oh, man. Way to kick a guy when he's down. Yeah, so this is my second year having season tickets for the Chargers, and I've become quite the Chargers fan. So, yeah, I'm pretty sad that we lost to the Raiders last week. That was not good.
Oakland Raiders.
Don't tell me you're a fan of the Raiders.
I'm not a sports fan myself, personally.
No, not per se, but, you know, Oakland Raiders, they were like, I lived in California. Central California, so it was like the closest team to root for was the Oakland Raiders.
Well, hey, I gotta say congratulations to the Raiders. They played well, but we'll get them next time.
Now, myself, I'm from New England, so I have to root for the Pats no matter what.
Yeah.
And I just received another question for you from Torin from the Antonio Bale server. Question for Rothgar. We've been told that Guild Heraldry banners will be coming. Will we be getting expanded guild heraldry options with those banners as well?
There's nothing in the plans to expand it right now, but I've thought about it a few times. I'd really like to see it expanded. At the very least, I'd like to see more icons and patterns added. That would be really cool, but it would be nice to see them get a little fancier too. I thought it would be really cool if players would have a way of submitting their own icon, but it'd have to go through an approval process and all that, because who knows what all kinds of crazy stuff you'd get. But I definitely would like to see more of that expanded, but right now it's not in the plans. But I will definitely add that to the notepad, too, and see if I can talk to some of the artists about adding some new textures and things for that.
Yeah, I can.
I'm going to play the Devil's Advocate. Wouldn't that be an excellent station cast item? I know, terrible art.
You know how many people are going to send you hate mail now?
I know. And then my next one is self-serving, of course, but what about taking EverQuest icon art and using that as for banners?
Yeah, something like that could happen. I mean, some icons are definitely more suited for it than others, and they have to be tinted, so they need to be made into black and white and all that sort of thing. But, you know, that's something I can bring up. You know, that you mentioned the thing about the marketplace, and, you know, we don't want to turn every new feature into a marketplace item, but sometimes it is a good way to get something through, because it may not be something that we would have time to do throughout the course of a normal year. You know, maybe adding more Guild Heraldry patterns wouldn't be on the highest of priorities with the other things, but if it did sound like something that people would be willing to, you know, pay like a microtransaction for, and we can justify it that way, then sometimes it's easier for us to get more resources or put it into the list of things that we do want to add to the marketplace. So it just sort of depends if it's one of those things that looks like it would make a good premium feature, you know, above and beyond the options that you already have there. So who knows, maybe that, or maybe we can just add some more to what's already there.
Or the ability to add to combine one or more icons together.
Yeah.
Something, you know, using the materials that you got now. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a possibility for sure.
All right, let's see. What else we got here? Pardon me. Had a cough. Let's see. Well, I think this is not really your field either, but Solaris asks, why do they keep making the game easier and easier? This is getting ridiculous.
It's a hard one to answer, I guess, because it probably, you know, they may have some specific things in mind, and I'm not sure. I don't want to speculate what things they think are getting easier about the game. I mean, things are certainly changing as time goes on. As it seems like people tend to play more casually now than the way MMOs were when EQ1 launched. You know, people would be willing to sit and camp some boots for 12 hours, and I think most people wouldn't do that anymore.
No.
Oh, God. I mean, in EverQuest 1, I was, and I mean literally, playing 40-plus hours a week.
Yeah. And
you were out camping that stupid griffin in Iceclad Ocean, or was it Iceclad? Not Iceclad.
Oh God! Right. For the mystical patch of Torin or something
yes.
like that. Oh,
and
I camped him for a week.
Oh.
And I mean, I gave someone my. I probably shouldn't say this, but I gave actually gave a friend my username and password, so when I had to go to work, he could camp him for me.
Right.
That was done a lot back then. So
yeah, I think I did that in EQ1 too when I was trying to get those lava storm boots or whatever, and I had to go to sleep. I'm like, if they drop and it's my turn, log me in, because I want them.
Guilds would do that to camp a mob, and then as soon as it came up, the call would go out, and you'd get up at you know, whatever time the stupid mob came up to go log in, to go with your guild, to go raid this thing. Yeah.
And, you know, time sinks don't necessarily equate to being hard. So when we do something in the game, and a lot of people say, well, you're making it easier, a lot of times it's to reduce a time sink, or to take something out that we think is taking away from the fun. And, you know, time doesn't necessarily equate to difficulty, so I don't know exactly what things he had in mind, but, you know, if we're flattening the XP curve or trying to make it a little bit faster to level up, it's not that we're trying to make the game easier, it's that we want it to be approachable to more and more people.
Right, I mean, there is a fine balance between too easy and, oh my God, let's get this done.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been level 50 for 3 years. Come on!
I was going and doing the Sky quests, the new ones, so you can get the Fae or Aerosite illusion and the little cloud mount. And I was noticing that mobs in different zones had been. It used to be group only, triple up. They're not as tripled up anymore. Which I thought was kind of nice.
Yeah.
It made it easier to get in there and get the quest done by myself, because there's not too many people now that would be going back and doing it, because I'm catching up.
Right.
So, I wouldn't say it's all that. I shouldn't use the word easier. It doesn't take as much time or resources to do these quests as it did before.
And like Greg said, a lot of people now are soloing. Or soloing, they're casual. And
they want to come in and spend a few hours and feel like they've done something for the evening instead of sitting around and then being, you know, disappointed. Well, I can't do anything tonight because I can't find a group to go and kill these mobs that I need for a quest.
Right. I mean, nothing ticked me off more in EQ1 than, okay, let's sit down here for 6 hours looking for group.
Right.
No, it's more like the planes of power waiting, going through 3 hours of getting a raid together of people to spend 20 minutes dying.
Yeah.
That was real fun.
Or my favorite, of course, is the, you know, several hours getting ready to go into the plane of fear and then spending 8 hours on a corpse run.
Right.
Because, you know, the plane of fear was completely impossible to enter unless you had it down just right.
That was nasty, yeah.
We had to hire one of the Uber raiding guilds to come get our corpses for us.
Magister.
Because it was that or lose our corpses. Because we couldn't
People had more patience for that sort of thing, it seemed.
Way back when.
Yeah, way back. And now, There's still people out there that will look at that. And of course, I'm sure we all have really good memories of those things because they're memories, but we wouldn't want to have to do them again.
No.
Definitely.
No. Once was enough. But, you know, part of us would like, you know, these new guys that are coming in to at least get their you know, feet wet on something like that.
Yeah.
You know,
but I guess that's our old timers going, our old timeness shaking our fists or canes at him going,
look out, everyone.
We used to raid.
Look out, Grandpa.
Back in my day.
Grandpa Jethel's about to tell a tale. Back in my day, we camped the polished granite tomahawk for a week and a half, only to lose it to the guy that was two levels higher than us.
Right. The kill stealer.
So I have a few more questions here for you that were, I have many more, actually. Irelicia of the Antonia Vale server would like to know, what happened to the 8 Virtues of Mar? I don't know what the 8 Virtues of Mar are.
You guys are really trying to stump me, aren't you?
Stump the Hrothgar.
I don't know on that one. This is going to turn into a drinking game. Every time Hrothgar says, I don't know, everybody take a shot.
We can put that in for the, you know, the podcast.
Yeah, you guys are going to be drunk by the end of the night. No, I'm not too sure on that. I'd have to defer to one of my lore friends on the team or one of the designers, because I don't know. Sorry.
That's all right. But as for
I'm a noob.
That's okay. But as for the drinking game, I can see Domino and Brass and those guys, you know, sitting back. Hey, let's listen to that podcast when Greg was on Jethel's show, and every time he says, I don't know, let's take a drink.
Right. Brass doesn't need an excuse.
Brass doesn't need it. No, I know. She's been a guest at our house once, and I love Brass. She is just so awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
All right, let's see here.
When you run out of questions, I have two.
Okay. Speaking of great people, I had the... I had the honor of meeting your wife at Fanfare.
Oh, yeah, cool.
She's great. I like her. I like her a lot.
Yeah, I like that girl, too.
And she's cute. She's cute as a button. She's so small.
Yeah.
What is it about Sony in hiring very petite women?
I don't know.
They're really elves.
I think so. God, I think you can ask Domino. I scared the crap out of her the first time I met her in real life.
Really?
It was for a meeting in San Diego. I think it's the last one held in San Diego for the old
influencers.
The old influencers program.
Yeah,
I went down there and she introduced herself. And I'm like, you know, you've seen me. I'm huge. And she, you know, little Domino, you know, she goes, hi, I'm Domino. And I'm like, Domino! And I threw my hands up to give her a big hug. And she's like, help me!
Yeah.
Every time you broke out into dwarf, too. And so, Grimwell running from you, too.
Oh, yeah. I had Grimwell running from me. And, you know, but that's just me. I mean,
you are an imposing individual.
I am. And it really depends on the situation, which character I'll break into. Sometimes I'll break into Cheez It and just be really funny and cute. And sometimes, like, hey, how the hell are you? Yeah. And that's just me all over. I'm like this in real life, folks.
Yes, he is.
I had fun hanging out with you guys at Fanfare this last summer.
It was a great time. I
definitely have to plug Fanfare and encourage people to go to it because it's a really good time.
Oh, it is a really good time. Unfortunately, don't think we're going to be able to do it this year.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm unemployed at this point.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And we've gone for 2 years in a row. I think we need to make a trip to his folks on the East Coast.
Yeah, I haven't seen my family in 6 years.
It's one or the other.
Yeah.
Fanfare, East Coast. Fanfare is one out for 2 years now.
Yeah. We know where your folks stand.
Yes, okay.
Although I did actually offer to DJ the Platinum Lounge.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Because, you know, the DJ you guys had, I'm sorry, it wasn't very good. Oh, the music,
I really don't remember him.
God, the music was too loud. It was the bass was too much. I mean, I was a professional DJ for a few years there, and you gotta know how to balance your music to your mic. It's like he was drowning everyone out. Anyway.
You digress.
I digress. So let's see what else we got here. Esquibel of the Legion of Kithacor would like to know, why couldn't the prestige housing be non-faction? The Sky Skiff and the Mismore Estate?
Why could it have been non-faction?
Right.
I'm not sure why they decided to do it that way.
I always thought it was just a database type of thing.
Or no, is it the fact that, you know, if they go in at Freeport, they have to go out at Freeport, and maybe it was a zone thing?
I don't know. I don't think there were any technical reasons why. I think they must have had a design reason for wanting to make it happen that way, but that's definitely something I should ask Mr. Waters, our design lead.
There you go.
Yeah, because they're both exactly the same. I could see maybe if the, you know, one was more on the evil side or something, but...
Yeah, they're both exactly the same. Maybe something on the door, where would you like to exit from?
But then that would not give them a shortcut to one of the other cities?
But...
Yeah, that would be the problem. We wouldn't, you know, there could be other ways to implement it for sure, and they might have had a reason for doing it that way. I'm just not quite sure.
Maybe it was just the easiest way to do it, so whoever, you know, lived in Freeport ended up back in Freeport and...
Yeah.
And the same with Kinos. I think a lot of them want to know why they don't have access to the skiffs in some of the other cities like Halas and Nariak.
Yeah, that's a good question, too. I don't know.
Maybe because that would mean making another set of skiff entrances and exits.
Well, I can't see that being very hard to do.
No, it wouldn't be. But I mean, I guess it's kind of like the guild halls. They, you know, the tier 3 guild halls are only available outside of Freeport and Kino. So maybe they just wanted to limit the locations.
They just wanted to stick it to you. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Yes.
Make you run.
Those jerks. Let's see here. Clorny from the Fallen server wanted to ask about sitting positions.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for chairs, but perhaps for new mounts. Maybe throw in. Well, this is something we actually saw over our Elkman's son's shoulder the other day. Wagons and carriages and stuff like that. That'd be kind of cool.
Oh yeah, that was really cool. And not to plug WoW, but he was doing some sort of quest, and it was this wagon that was trundling along the countryside, the normal open countryside. That's accessible to everybody. And it would stop and pick up player characters. And he had to converse with the player characters on the carriage.
NPCs,
sorry. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, wow, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, we've talked about the possibility of doing like multi-person mounts.
Yeah, they have those a lot in WoW. There's several different things that he's always, what are you doing? Well, I'm riding with my guildmates to someplace, and I look over and it's like, you guys are all on that thing? Yeah.
That's one hell of a horse, my god.
You know, or in their battlegrounds, they've got different weapons they can all pile into and shoot from or something.
Oh god, I just had a really bad vision.
No.
I just had a really bad vision. When I said, oh my god, look at the size of that horse, the horse centipede.
No!
I can't believe I even referenced that movie. Oh my god.
I can't believe you brought that up either, because...
It was a horrible movie.
I actually watched that movie,
I watched it just to see what the hell everyone was talking about. I was like, oh my god.
Okay. Well, I never even heard anybody talking about it. I was just flipping through
Netflix, yeah.
Quite tired, ready for bed. And Tiffany had already gone to sleep, and she doesn't like watching horror movies, so I thought, well, if I'm going to watch a movie by myself, I'm going to watch some movie that she definitely would not want to watch.
Oh, she definitely wouldn't want to see that one.
Right. And I saw the cover for it and read the little four-line description, and I thought, okay, this sounds a little creepy. I will check it out and see what it's like. And when I got into that movie, I was like, what demented person came up with this idea? Of course, then I was already committed, though, and I had to watch it till the end. But then I regretted it. I was like, why did I watch that?
Now, my comment on that movie is, if they took out the centipede part, and put in anything else, really. Uh-huh. You know, like, you know, some kind of weird science experiment, but not a centipede. I think it would have been a decent movie. It had a good plot.
Yeah, I
good
think
plot.
So.
The actors were actually fairly decent.
Yeah, the demented doctor or whatever was a pretty creepy personality. Yeah. He was a good actor.
So, you know, if they would have done anything but building a human centipede, I think it actually would have been a fairly decent movie.
Yeah, yeah. And I totally didn't understand what was going to happen with that movie. I thought, oh, they're going to, you know, sew arms from some people onto some other guy or something. But no. It was terrible.
And the whole premise of it was like, okay, whoever wrote this apparently has never had a biology class in their life. Right. Because the people down the chain could not ever survive.
Right.
Anyway, enough with the human centipede.
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, enough with the human centipede. Let's see, what else we got here? Why has it not rained in Intonica since the addition of the guild halls?
You know,
maybe
I think
the common lands took it all.
Someone may have taken the rain out. I thought at one point somebody was saying the rain was causing lots of lag, although we haven't changed rain in a while, so I'm not sure. It may have been taken out. That typically is something that the artists might do. They can control the weather settings. And so I have not really paid that much attention myself to notice that it hasn't rained, but I'll check with them and see if it was something they've done. I know that I've spoken with one of our other programmers here about some ideas he had for improving the rain and making it look a lot better and actually run faster and really react to geometry by, you know, bouncing off of things and all of that. So we may come up with something in the future to make it better. But I'll put that on my list of things to ask the artists and see if they disabled it.
Okay. Elquin, you said you had a couple. I mean, I'm getting tells like crazy, people asking questions, but you said you had a couple?
Yeah, I'm probably going to make him cringe.
Go ahead.
With the addition of the Craig Manors as our 7-year vet rewards,
mm-hmm.
Do you know how much crap you got accumulated after 6 years of in-game questing and heritage quests and stuff? And
yeah, quite
a bit. My question was, why didn't it just start out at 700 items? Instead?
Versus, was it at 6?
Yeah. 7 for 7, you know?
Yeah, that, again, is one of those decisions that our designers make depending on where they want the house to fall in the line of progression. Do they want to make it, you know, a lot better than the other houses or just a little bit better? So I can imagine in that situation, the way our vet reward system works right now, we want the rewards to be really good, but the system is also very limiting. New players that come in late look at something that they get 6 or 7 years down the road as pretty much being unobtainable. So you don't want to make a thing that's just so awesome that everyone's going to be angry that they won't be able to get to it. So I imagine that, you know, 600 is still bigger than any other house by default without an expander. So they did make it more desirable, but not so over
the
top.
It's the same as any other 5-room house.
Oh, that's right. The 5 rooms got increased from 500 to 100.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And I think that the biggest problem with people with the 500 count or the 600 or whatever it is, in such a large house, it's like you couldn't possibly decorate it and make it look full.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I can certainly bring that up. I know that a lot of times the designers are not willing to push technical limitations without talking to us because they don't want to be responsible for crashing the database or, you know, causing lag issues, but I can certainly talk to them about it and see if they feel like it's something that's worth expanding and maybe add some more, you know, house item expanders and that sort of thing through the marketplace.
Yeah, stack them.
Yeah, that's
that would be nice if they stack. I mean, I went and bought the 200 and I wouldn't mind buying another 200 or at least 100.
Where if you could have multiples.
At least a little bit of room for growth. I have all my quests, just about all the majority of my quest items from heritage quests and the legends and lores and some real special rewards from special quests and stuff that they just don't aren't going to happen again.
Yeah.
And I collect books. I'm bad. I'm up there with the book goddess as far as collections. And I'm almost out of room again. I have no room for expansion. Anything that I get from here on out, I'm really going to have to go through and go, how badly do I really want to display this anymore? And then I'll shove it to an alt's house.
Yeah. It's housing is one of those things where I think it's one of the best features of EQ2, and it's also one of the ones that we struggle with the most. I've never seen a game that comes anywhere close to the house customization that EQ2 has, and that definitely is cool. But it's also a double-edged sword because it's very difficult for a client to deal with that many types of house items, because at least in zone, you can guarantee that objects in a zone can share texture sets and be memory efficient. But when you can put an item in your house from any zone in the game, you can build a location where the client just has a hard time keeping up with the resource demand on it. And the more house items that you can put in there, the worse it gets.
That's what I like about the Craig House, though. It's so large, you can spread stuff out. It isn't so compressed.
Right.
You're not, you know, totally being bombarded.
Right. But on the back end, all of those still have to be loaded when
they have to be loaded when they come in. Yeah. I know
they
have
memory on the server, and the zone has to load them all, even though they don't have to necessarily all render. But when you run around, you know, your client is going to have to load those resources and all that.
Oh, yeah. I've ran into my library to climb the second storage. I mean, I've got two floors in my library room. And, yeah, I've run up my stairs and had to wait.
Yeah.
I lucked out. I used, it was one of the books. It's red. This one comes from Hallis, and I can't think of the name of it right off the top of my head.
Well, Rothgar, if you'd like to roll up an alt and come on over to the Antonia Bale server.
Let's see if your machine can handle my room.
Yeah.
Because every item, I mean, I do not have a lot of duplicate items in there. Very few. So it's a lot of, I would say, at least 75% of my items are original single piece.
Right.
So but that's a real load.
That's like almost worst case scenario.
Yeah, so if you like a test subject, you're more than welcome to go try my place out.
Right.
Okay. See if you can.
It was like I don't know if you ever remember seeing it from the forums, but when we first came out with the armor dummies, I think somebody decided they wanted to make a house with like 500 armor dummies in it, showing off, you know, every piece of armor in the game. And
oh my god!
Move. Yeah, you zoned in and you just locked up immediately. It was pretty bad.
Wow.
Okay, I think we're gonna go ahead and take a music break. We do have brand new Frostfell songs, and this will give Rothgar, of course, a opportunity to roll up an alt if you want to come by and see Jethel and Elkwin's houses on the Antonia Bale server.
Okay, I'll do that.
And we're going to be back probably about 10 minutes or so. We got two brand new Frostfell songs and a brand new, just recorded today, Elkwin hasn't even heard it, Ask a Drunken Dwarf.
Ooh.
Yes, I did that this afternoon. This morning, actually, before I went to go pick up the boy.
You were busy.
I was a busy guy today. Okay, folks, we'll be back in like 10 minutes. Here's your new stuff.
Listening to the Jethel Silverwing Show on Online Gaming Radio.
Frostfell things in market listings are groups on exciting missions. You'll run and you'll play. You'll toss cares away while I'm crafting in a Frostfell wonderland. In the store, you'll see many closing gifts, all aplenty. You'll carol and sing or hunt for your bling while I'm crafting in a Frostfell wonderland. All around us, you can feel the season.
This is really nice.
Even dark elves smile instead of frown. Decorations hung from floor to ceiling. Enjoy it all before they tear it down. All day long, but we're willing to
You're raising your glass while we bust our ass, crafting in a Frostville wonderland.
Hit it, boys!
Frost, they're making snowmen. In the city, snowballs flying round.
What are you gonna think about it?
In the sinking sand, they got a feeling that half the population's not around. At your forge, you'll perspire.
Yeah, nice.
But here we dream of toasty fires.
Through
a magic wardrobe, it's 20 below. We're crafting in a Frostville wonderland. In a Frostville wonderland. Hard time.
It's time for Ask a Drunken Dwarf right here on Online Gaming Radio. I'm the Drunken Dwarf.
Down here in the mailbag, I'm Cheese at Nibblebuns, and I'm here to read your questions to the Drunken Dwarf. Are you ready, Dwarf?
Yeah, well, I'm blind stinking drunk!
Then let's get to the first letter! Dear Drunken Dwarf,
yes.
I need your advice.
Ooh.
With the holiday season upon us, I want to make sure my love gets the perfect holiday gift.
Uh-huh.
But what do you get the guy who has everything?
Everything.
He's strong. Ooh. He's powerful. Ah. He has all the platinum you can shake your Matonga at.
That's a lot of money.
What am I to do? Signed, Shopping for Santa in Long Shadow Alley.
Well, he has everything, huh?
That sounds like it.
Well, you can always get him one of those, gelatinous Frostville cubes.
Oh, that's disgusting.
But that one thing he doesn't have is a gigantic pain in the butt that's following him around, reminding him that death is just around the corner.
Oh, no.
Oh, they make me so little.
Oh,
there's
yes.
a little Frostville all trapped in there.
Oh,
he's being slowly digested.
Oh, no.
Oh, the horror. The horror.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes,
where's my aunt? No!
Next
question!
Well, this one's kind of weird.
Huh?
It's a note in a bottle.
How'd they get that through the mail system?
Well, let's open it up and take a look. Dear Drunken Dwarf!
Yes, yes!
My boat is sinking off the coast of... it just stops right there!
Oh, no! Well, next question!
Dear Drunken Dwarf!
Yes, yes.
What are you getting Cheez-It for Frostville this year?
Ooh.
Ooh, I like this one. Has he been a good Tonga?
Wow.
What's the scoop? Signed, Santa Clug's Lazy List Keeper.
What?
Well, Dwarf?
Well... You know, I have to admit, Cheez-It has been a very, very good Tonga this year. Hardly any stabbies at all. So, to Santa Clug, I have to say, he's been a good Tonga.
But,
to the person who wrote this note trying to figure out what Cheez-It's getting for Frostville this year, I have to say, nice try! This is your handwriting, Cheez-It! Oh, I'm so reporting this to Santa Claus!
No!
Oh, you're gonna get cold in your stocking! Ha ha ha!
Oh, no, not cold again!
And that's all the time we have for Hasta Drunken Dwarf! Right here on the Gentle Silverling Show! I'm the Drunken Dwarf!
And I'm Cheez-It Nibblebuns, who's apparently gonna hit coal in his stocking again this year!
Coal for you!
Reminding you that you can contact the Drunken Drunken Dwarf by writing
da-da-da-da.
Drunken Dwarf at Kithagore.org.
That's right! You can always find the Chethel Silverwing Show at Kithagore.org/show. Or you can go to Facebook and look up Chethel Silverwing.
Twitter!
Watch your mouth!
No, Twitter. Twitter.
Oh, Twitter, right.
Go to Twitter.com/Kithagore for Chethel's Twitter feed.
And now, back to the Chethel Silverwing Show on Online Gaming Radio.
She's now comfy, basking in the sun. Hot summer days burn her buns. No one's sure of her game, but we love her just the same. It's easy. Hanging decorations that she made.
But it's July 14th.
Hey, look,
counting down to Frostbell Day.
The calendar only has one day.
That's
on.
Weird.
She knows how to play her part, cause Frostbell's in her heart. It makes her squeal.
That's one happy dark elf.
Really creepy.
She's a Frostbell elf.
Don't call her that.
She's a Frostbell elf.
She'll take out her candy cane, smack you with it.
She's a Frostbell elf. Oh, Frostbell's all she needs.
Don't bother to have a refrigerator. Her living room has icicles hanging from the ceiling.
Holy crap, it's cold in here.
I've heard of people being cold in the bedroom with all, but this is ridiculous.
I'm gonna get my ice skates.
She's a Frostbell elf. She's a Frostbell elf. She's a Frostbell elf. Oh, and Frostbell's all she needs. A twinkle in her eye when it snows. Is there magic in her hat? No one knows.
I'm gonna find out. She never takes it off.
She's taller than her kin and blue, but still she fits right in. And you'll see. She's a Frostbell elf.
This Frostbell cap has 700 mitigations.
She's a Frostbell elf.
Bringing Frostbell to your river she goes.
She's a Frostbell elf. Oh, Frostbell's all she needs. She's a Frostbell elf.
Hey, let me see that mistletoe for a minute.
Again?
She's a Frostbell elf. Frostbell's all she needs. 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 Frostbell's all.
And you'll be for us.
La 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 la.
Strike the hops and join the chorus.
La 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 la.
Follow me in merry measure.
La 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 la.
While I tell of Yuletide treasure.
La 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 la.
Fast away the old year passes.
La 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 la.
The new ye lads and lasses.
La 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 la.
Sing we joyous all together.
La 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 la.
Heedless of the wind and weather.
La 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 la.
La
she's now comfy basking in the sun. Hot summer days burn her buns. No one's sure of her game, but we love her just the same. It's easy. Hanging decorations that she made.
But it's July 14th.
Hey, look, counting down to Frostfell Day.
The calendar only has one day.
She knows how to play her part, cause Frostfell's in her heart. It makes her squeal.
That's one happy dark elf.
Kinda creepy.
She's a Frostfell elf.
Don't call her that.
She's a Frostfell elf.
She'll take out her candy cane and smack you with it.
She's a Frostfell elf. Oh, Frostfell's all she needs.
Doesn't bother to have a refrigerator. Her living room has icicles hanging from the ceiling.
Holy crap, it's cold in here.
I've heard of people being cold in the bedroom with all, but this is ridiculous.
I'm going to get my ice skates.
She's a Frostfell elf. She's a Frostfell elf. Frostfell's all she needs. A twinkle in her eye when it snows. Is there magic in her hat? No one knows.
I'm gonna find out. She never takes it off.
She's taller than her kin and blue, but still she fits right in. And you'll see. She's a Frostfell elf.
Her Frostfell cap has 700 mitigations.
She's a Frostfell elf.
Bringing Frostfell cheer wherever she goes.
She's a Frostfell elf. Oh, Frostfell's all she needs. She's a Frostfell elf.
Let me see that mistletoe for a minute.
Again?
She's a Frostfell elf. She's a Frostfell elf. Oh, Frostfell's all she needs. 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 Frostfell's all she needs.
I ninja looted on a raid. Someone petitioned me. Farmed some platinum and got paid. Someone petitioned me. Slapped a halfling with a slug. Got a human druid mug. Made a fortune exploiting bugs. Someone petitioned me. So I got my account banned for Frostfell. Rolled back 2 months of work. I got my account banned for Frostfell. Cause someone said I was a jerk. I threw a pie in Brass's face. Someone. I sprayed Amiris with some mace. Someone. I filled dead mother's bra with ants. Made Nobrin do a naked dance. Stuffed a fae in Smedley's pants. Someone petitioned me. Oh, hurry up, I got my account banned for Frostfell. Nothing but trouble, they say. I got my account banned for Frostfell. Petitioned me, sent some tells and started fights. Someone petitioned me. I broke the beta NDA, mocked some guys for their role play. They said I'd get mine someday. Someone,
I think we went LinkedIn. Yeah, looks like they banned you again.
How do you know? Got my account banned on Frostfell. Nothing but trouble, they say. I got my account banned on Frostfell.
Where the Warcraft?
Yeah, too easy.
I'm taking you to my bedroom. Uh-oh.
Okay, and we're back. Rothgar has visited Jethel's house on the Tony Bale server, which, of course, is open to the public if anyone wants to go ahead and take a look at it. And right
such
now,
a nice house it is.
Well, thank you. And right now we are in Elkwyn Jenna's house, which is the Mistmore Crag estate on the Freeport side. on the Antonia Bale server, which is also open to the public if anyone wants to go ahead and take a look at it.
I'm taking a dip in her pool.
It's a hot tub, yeah. Okay, it's a tapered hot tub, too.
It's a gigantic freaking hot tub!
Took one of those avionic valves.
I think my sword's getting rusty.
You know, I think you actually better be careful. You know, she is a dark elf, you know. She could be making a soup.
Oh, and then we have a bathroom in here. We had to have a bathroom. I got really tired of running to Stormguard. Or Stormhold.
Stormhold.
Yeah, and it's really icky over there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, got a bathroom in here.
Oh, very cool. You know, Matharius is saying that we should check out the Trudy house in Nerriac, where she built inside the castle of Nerriac.
Oh, she broke out and built inside the castle?
Inside the castle. I think we ought to check that out. So do we have to run, or is this something that Hrothgar is going to teleport?
Well, I was going to take him up to my balcony.
Oh, he's a married man!
Up to the balcony.
Off to the balcony.
And then, of course, we broke out to, I have a graveyard, a garden, and the beach.
Anyway, you go ahead and show him that. I'll shoot over to Trudy's, and then you guys can just port over to me.
That's cool. I like the balcony.
I love going around, seeing what other people have done in their houses. Some of it is, well, they're just using it for storage space, and some of them are just like, wow, why didn't I think about that, you know?
Yeah. And I don't even get to see all these house items, these cool items that we come up with all the time. A lot of times they come and go, and I don't even get to see them. So it's fun for me to run around and see what people are doing, and see the items that our artists have made and all of that.
Now, I put the porter pad here in the druid ring, but yeah, you can jump down if you want.
I will use my superpowers and fly
you're
down.
You're using your superpowers. I know where you're going.
Okay, while you're looking around, I do have a few more questions.
Okay.
That have been sent off to me. Let's see here. Let's scroll up here.
Okay. But I didn't try to use every open spot that I could find in this place.
That's okay. Really cool.
Torin from the Antonia Bale server would like to know, why are the god avatars gone, and will they ever return?
I'd probably have to let a designer speak to why they are gone. I think, you know, I can only speculate as to, I know there were some wanting to maybe cut down on some of the overland contested mobs. I think there might have been some balance issues with the items and things, but I think that one day we might see them again, but I don't know. It's definitely something that one of the designers would have to comment on a little bit more.
Now, speaking of the gods, I do have to ask, maybe you can tell me, who was the jerk responsible for killing Illyrissi?
Oh, gosh. I have no idea.
Who are you protecting? This is a conspiracy now.
You have to ask Paul, Mr. Paul Molina.
I will get Paul on this show, and I will grill him.
We just know it was one of the... somebody from Interuk.
Damn them.
Wasn't me, I can tell you that.
Well, okay then. Just all kinds of upset. I mean, I held off getting a deity. I didn't go for Tenere or anyone. I was waiting for Illyrissi to come out, and then she's dead. Oh, great. So now I am with Kazik Thule.
Jeez.
Out of spite.
Oh. Out of spite.
Nah, actually just fits Jethel's character better.
I've seen a few people ask about server mergers. I don't know if that's something that they sent you, but I've seen a few people post it in chat channels, so I didn't know if you wanted to address that.
I hadn't seen that, actually.
I have.
Okay. A couple people were asking, and we've made some posts just this evening on the forums that the first server merge is going to start tonight. So that's going to be Everfrost and Blackburrow.
Just those two?
Yeah, we're just going to do one at a time. We don't want to be overwhelmed with issues and then be affecting, you know, a large number of servers. And especially for the first one, we want to make sure that everything works correctly and we don't run into any problems. And if we do run into problems, we want to minimize the number of people that it'll affect. So we're going to do that one tonight, and we're going to see how it goes after it's done. And if everything works great, then we'll start with the next one probably next Tuesday.
All right. Got another one here. Torrin again. Okay. Let's see. Ultima Online did a complete engine rebuild at their 10-year mark. Do you see a unified engine upgrade for EQ1 and EQ2 as something that could be possible?
I definitely don't see anything being unified between EQ1 and EQ2 because our art assets are way different. So just the engine itself would have to basically have two complete pipelines to be able to work with the different types of assets. And as far as, you know, overhauling the engine for EQ2, I don't know that that's really something in the cards for EQ2. I mean, we want to improve the engine and make it work better, and we're definitely taking steps in that direction. But a complete rewrite would, again, involve lots of time, probably making changes to artwork, and
right.
and could result in the game looking different than what it does now. And so we're looking for other ways to get performance, and we're definitely looking at ways to improve the shadows and the particle systems and all of that. So we're not giving up on performance at all, but I don't think it would be an entire engine rewrite, okay. at least not for EQ2. We might take what we've learned and apply that to another title.
Mm-hmm. Now, not to bring up the game that shall not be named, but I have to look at what they're doing with Cataclysm.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help think to myself when I first saw when I first saw the thing, why couldn't they have done that with EQ1? Just completely scrap the original game and go with EQ2 on top of it, so we can still have our characters and stuff like that. That would have worked.
Yeah. Who knows how well that would have worked? I mean, I know a lot of people so I came over from EQ1, and a lot of my guildmates did too, and many of my guildmates after a couple of weeks went straight back to EQ1. So EQ2 was a pretty big change in a lot of respects, you know. So maybe part of the reason for doing something different is that you don't want to lose the player base that you already have that's
right.
comfortable with the product the way it is.
I'm telling you, I cannot go back to EQ1. I've tried going back just for nostalgia's sake. And when you have to ask someone in the general channels, how do I open my bag?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I like the game engine for EQ2.
Oh, yes, definitely. It's much
better.
Over
the game engine for EQ1. I just the interaction, the way things work, the icons, how you open up stuff, how you do things, you know, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely has, you know, it's more mature because of the age, and we, you know, a lot of the people that worked on EQ2 were on EQ1, so, you know, everybody will improve upon things they've done, and I'm sure we would do the same thing, you know, with the next game too, and make it even better. So,
I can't go back to EQ1 either. I've tried, and it's like I don't know where I'm doing it. I'm too used to being in EQ2.
Mm-hmm.
Without going back and just starting from scratch over there to learn the mechanics all over again.
Right.
I could not kite a storm frog to save my life at this point. You know, and
really.
I used to do that all the time up there.
Oh, I used to do it with you.
Mm-hmm.
And God.
Play Ranger Ping Pong.
That's
you know, you gotta know what you're doing when you're doing that, you know.
It's like, snare it. Flink, 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 flink. Okay, you take it, Jolt.
Ping pong. It used to be fun.
Hey, well, we spent months doing that together.
Ranger ping pong, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do have a not in game. I was just IM'd by Xanadi. Today brought out the change in the research assistants. For those of you who don't know, you don't go to research assistants anymore. You can now bring up your knowledge book, and the research tab is there now.
Mm-hmm.
The research. This is actually a good question because this affects me actually now. Today they brought out the change in the research assistants. Originally we were getting half back on amenity if we sold our research assistants back because we found we didn't need them anymore in the guild halls. With the next update, we'll be getting back full amenities.
Well, so not exactly.
Not exactly, okay.
if you sell an amenity, you're still going to get half back. That's just the price you pay for trying it out and using it. So what I added today, based on user feedback, was the ability for us to refund an amenity for you. So if we phase out an amenity and make it no longer a viable option, instead of saying, sorry, tough luck, then you will get the full amount of that amenity refunded back to you. But it has to be phased out on our end by a, you know, by a designer. So we flagged the research amenity as, you know, no longer valid. And when this update goes live, most likely next Tuesday, if you have a research assistant amenity in your guild hall, it'll just disappear and the full price will be refunded back to your escrow account.
And what happens, like myself, I know I got a tell from one of my officers. They went ahead and got rid of the research assistant already.
Yeah, so if it's gone, then we won't really know that you had one to begin with. So it's just gone.
Okay,
so if you're really concerned about the difference, the only thing I could suggest would be to make a petition and see if customer service would do something. But I don't know what their policy would be on that.
Oh, I don't think it's more than like plat or something like that. I'm not concerned about it. But if you're concerned about the full price, don't do it yet.
Yeah, just hang on to it.
Hang on to it.
Right.
Okay.
So are you in that house yet?
Yes, I'm in the house.
Did you see how many items I've got crammed in this place actually?
886. Actually, 1291 actually.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a lot of books. It actually seems to be handling it pretty well. I didn't really have much lag running around here.
Those books aren't supposed to count, but a majority of them do still. Oh,
okay.
The skull works.
So if you two are going to be porting to me, don't move. Do not move until the stuff loads around you.
Okay.
Because we're apparently in the castle, but it's just like the Kino's castle. It's hollow.
Okay.
So they had to build around it.
Okay. Coming in.
So you have to wait for the stuff to load, or you're going to fall.
All right, I've ported to you, and it's loaded.
Okay.
I would say about 300 of those items are the books that don't actually count towards the house limit. So, yeah, that's quite a bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That
was pretty quick.
Yep, and I know Matharius is listening. You know, Matharius, if you exchanged this vampiric mirror with the wispy mirror, you could actually allow people to put their backs to it, scroll out, and see that you're in the castle. just a point there. But we are apparently in the castle. I can see the courtyard below. Let's check this out here.
That's pretty cool.
Do-do-do-do. A lot of stairs going on. I do like the fact that we have stairs now, the Kara stairs. I wish we had something perhaps a bit more formal looking than just driftwood. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely have to work on that. Something a little more chic.
Whoops. I'm apparently getting stuck here. I am stuck
on
this
big
last
spiral staircase.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the spiral staircase is getting smaller and smaller as you go up, and I'm getting stuck.
Wow, and then there's four spiral staircase.
Low ceiling. Squeeze through. Yeah, I can see where you got stuck. It was a little low on the ceiling there.
I'm at the very top.
I'm getting up there.
Oh, there's more stairs.
Taking a bath in their pool.
Woo! You're a clean developer tonight, aren't you?
That's right.
I don't know. He's visiting a lot of people's hot tubs. He may be a dirty developer.
Oh, God. I'm in the bedroom. How did I get in here?
Woo-hoo.
Oh, there's more stairs.
Do you find yourself asking yourself that often?
Why I'm in somebody's bedroom? Yes.
Okay.
That's okay. Jethel's always asking, who are you and why are you in my hot tub?
All right, let's see here. Shimmery of the Antonia Bale server would like to know, since the Truthbringer is back, will there be a Shard of Valor?
Oh, man, you guys are hitting me with all these lore questions. Yeah, I can't answer that one either. Okay. You guys do know I'm just a little lowly programmer, right? I'm not privy to all these lore and design decisions that they're making over there.
Okay,
I'm not sure, actually.
So to be clear for the rest of the show, programming and design work, two different departments.
Yeah. So, you know, we try to stay up on what everybody's doing, but obviously there's so much stuff going on the team, and every group is having their own meetings, and things are changing, you know, from day to day, that it's very difficult to keep up with your own work, much less, you know, what's going on with all the other departments and the other disciplines. So, yeah, it's a challenge sometimes to always be made aware of everything that's going on.
Right.
So you know nothing of vampires then, huh?
No, that's not totally true. So, you know, things... I know a little bit about vampires.
Can you at least confirm or deny... sparkles. Please, for the love of God, no sparkles.
I can certainly confirm that there will be no sparkles.
Yay!
Anywhere.
No much sparkles!
There was going to be riots, I swear.
Oh, yeah.
The lore channel was going to come... hunt you guys down.
Now, I don't know if some of the stuff I'm about to bring up is your department or not. Probably not. But, you know, just suggestions. You know, having a vampire race is pretty much going to be a roleplay race. I think it would be kind of cool if the vampiric race got some kind of negative bonus during daylight. You know, kind of like you get in the Loping Plains.
Mm-hmm.
At night, you know, your stats drop or whatever. I think it would be kind of cool if vampiric races during Narathian daylight hours were weakened, because that would make sense.
Right. We certainly talked about a lot of stuff like that. You know, we talked about what does it mean to be a vampire? What is it that people think of? Mm-hmm. And there were some things that you think of that you associate with vampires that we definitely wanted to include as part of that package. And we did, and there were some other things that just weren't as feasible, and so, you know, the vampires in EQ2 may not be identical to other vampires you've read about. They may have some of the same traits, but not share other ones, but it'll all should all be explained in the lore of the Free Blood.
Alright. And, see, I got another question from Clorny of the Befallen server. The petrified eyes that give you the racial illusion?
Yeah.
Possibilities of maybe putting into your notebook there, saying about how about consolidating them?
Yeah, that'd be something that we'd like to do. We have a list of all kinds of items that we'd like to consolidate, and items that give you illusions would be good. Similar to what we just did with mounts, mm-hmm. I could certainly see maybe a page in your spell book that would allow you to permanently scribe those items so that you could cast those illusions without having to carry the item.
Tie it in with some sort of quest where you have to at least collect all the eyes to combine them. I don't know.
Torin is saying remove the bone requirement. Oh, right. So you don't need the reagent.
Or it consumes a bone to use it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because some of those bones are actually kind of difficult to come by nowadays.
Yeah, they are. But... on the other hand, it might help the economy that it does consume them a little bit, because I do know people will buy them and stock up.
Mm. So let's see here.
They're not that hard to get.
No. Now there were a few things. Now, you're involved with the UI, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, there were a few things I wanted to bring up to you. Maybe you can jot them down in your notebook. Maybe you can tell me to go to hell. Either way is good. a few things I wanted to talk to you about for... the guild window.
Mm-hmm.
What I think would be really cool would be an award system. So people can get like awards or ribbons or something like that.
See, right.
You know, add it to the roster, you know, guild leader or officer or however you have it assigned in the rank specifications. Name it, choose an icon, boom, put it next to someone. Hey, you did a great job at this. Here's your reward, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Little icons in the guild window?
Yeah. In the roster next to the guy's name or under the guy's name, something like that. Say, hey.
Or how about a whole different page?
No, I would like to see it on the roster. That way, you know, name, where are they, boom, here's their, you know, why have two rosters? You know,
yeah.
Why have a separate page? Just put it on the regular roster, you know, grouped in with the player's area. So I think that'd be good. But that's something I'd really love to see. We were talking about that in my last officers' meeting, actually, because we're like, you know what? Let's go ahead and implement some kind of award system for our, right, for role play and stuff like that. So, hey, you know what? I have Hrothgar coming on the show this week. I'm going to mention that to him.
You could probably squeeze another column in there between points and location.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I could see that being something cool.
There you go. So drop that down. I'd love to see that implemented. Another thing was actually originally in EverQuest 1. I checked this afternoon. It's not there anymore. Or it doesn't work anymore, I should say. But in South Kinos, in the Lion's Mane Inn, you go in the front door, you turn around, and there was a message board there where people could actually post notes. And I was like, hey, this guild is recruiting, you know, contact so-and-so. You know, it was a message board. I think they removed it because people were starting to get lewd with it.
Hmm.
You know,
wow. That, you know what? I seem to remember that, but if that got removed, that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. But that's something I think would be great for guild halls.
Uh-huh.
Have a message board up to, you know, because...
Well, that was actually one of the intents behind the player-made books that we created. They don't have to necessarily be a book, so... I actually worked on that system, and when I designed the items, I did it in a way where it doesn't need to be a book. It could be anything. So one of the ideas we had was something that looks like a marketplace board, mm-hmm, or anything like that you could hang on the wall that used the same kind of interface where you could click on it, edit the text, and then anybody else could walk up and read it. And one of the ideas was that people could use it for, you know, a guest book or,
yep,
you know, any kind of like simple forum system where you wanted to just leave messages to other people that might come in, or maybe you put one next to your crafting stations and you say, hey, I need, you know, some of these made, and the person that makes them could then edit the book and take them off the list, or
that'd be even great,
know that they're in the guild
That's
bank.
That's great.
Yeah, that stuff like great. That could be done for sure. And I will add that to the list, because now that work is done, it wouldn't be too terribly difficult to create items like that.
Mm-hmm. That would be a good amenity.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I
or
like
just
it.
A house item that you could do whatever you wanted with.
Mm-hmm.
True. That too.
Another thing I wanted to bring up is teleport pads. They're currently really, you can't get them anymore.
I have plenty.
Well, you have plenty, but you can't. Yeah,
they were just out with the druid rings. When they
right.
had the druid ring event, you could get them then.
Right, but you can't get them anymore unless you have the tokens, which the quest you can't do anymore.
But I'm probably jumping on in front of Greg here, but they'll probably have something later on down the line with that reward again. Am I wrong?
It could be. I don't know if that one's coming back or not, but that's definitely a question for design as well.
Yeah,
but those worked just like the guild hall ones, right?
Right.
Yes.
Right, but
we're using them in my house. I have
right.
all of them in my house. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, guys would like more teleport pads.
Is there a
there.
Reason why the number is restricted in housing to 4?
It's
8 in
no.
guild halls.
Yeah, guild halls is more for sure. I think I don't know why the housing number was set to what it was.
Is there any possibility of that be getting increased at least by 2? I can see, you know, guild halls having, you know...
And
what do they have up to 8?
And it's not all guild halls. Only the tier 3s have them. As an amenity.
Right. Yeah, we tried to make some amenities be kind of special to certain size guild halls, so there was more encouragement to upgrade guild halls or something else to strive for.
So, we're giving you lots of ideas for notes.
Yeah, I've got them all down.
See, I think that's all the... Well, actually, let me go back to Facebook here, because someone... I've actually written up quite a few notes. Let me see if there's anything here that we haven't covered yet. Let's see. Linda Hoover wanted to ask about a crafting UI overhaul. Let's see what we got here. Searchable recipes would be good, I would think.
Hmm. Well, you can already kind of search.
Yeah.
You can filter. So.
You can filter and search by book, yeah.
We have talked about improving the crafting UI a bit. There's things we want to do to make it a little more intuitive.
She mentions, maybe this could be put in your notes there, a bauble storage. You know, stuff like the vet call and st- stuff like that, fireworks, illusion eyes. But then again, for the illusion eyes, we mentioned consolidating them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see consolidating things that make sense, like we did with mounts and possibly illusions. But as far as creating custom storage for just certain kinds of items, I wouldn't really want to see the game head down that road, because then you just make all these custom things, and then it's like, well, that's what your inventory is for.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. She mentions here a clothing storage tab. But, you know, that's inventory.
Well, this actually goes back to one thing that I kind of wanted to do. I had an idea a while back for an item that you could put in your house that would look like a wardrobe. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be cool if you could, if the interface would let you drag armor sets into them and then name those sets. So name them like whatever name you want to associate with them. And then it would just be permanent storage for those sets, and it would allow you to basically click on the wardrobe and it would present you with a list of all the sets that were in there, and then you could say swap to this clothing, and it would just swap your appearance gear with that.
Right.
Jethro would love you for that. He's a clothes horse. He's always changing his outfits.
But
go ahead.
That would be a combination of like the guard mannequins for the guild halls. You can make your own. You get a mannequin, you throw an outfit on it, then you go to the guard and go, okay, choose outfit 1, 2, or 3, depending on how many mannequins you have. It'd be a combination of that and your AA window, mirror.
Yeah, it'd be like an AA window, I guess, for like storing the items. And the items would just go away. They'd be stored in your wardrobe, so you'd no longer have to keep
them
in.
That would be nice.
That would be
cool. There's some outfits I have kept, like the Kithakor armor. It was a chore getting on them all. And I didn't want to get... I mean, I've outgrown the set, and I don't particularly like wearing it all that often, but I like having the set. So, having it in a wardrobe, being able to say, well, maybe I'll dress like Kithakor today and throw that on.
So that was kind of like my dream idea from a while back. I'd like to see us do something like that. It'd be a good bit of work, though, and we'd just have to find time to devote to something. But I definitely think it would be something that a lot of people would enjoy. So.
Right. Now, I know I know this is something more along the lines for the design team or whoever it is that makes clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But we're seeing a lot more... visual backpacks.
Yeah.
Quivers.
That's a good idea.
I am a ranger. I want a quiver on my back.
Yeah, that would be cool. That almost seems like an obvious one. Like, why haven't we done that yet?
Mm-hmm. And I believe it was Clorny, actually, who... Clorny from the Fallen server had actually submitted some artwork for quivers and backpacks. And I think they've actually used some of his designs and some of the backpacks,
right?
That are out right now. Whoop! I just got a tell from someone here. Let's see.
Definitely put that down. I think that would be cool.
Oh, this would be an interesting one. Torin from the Antonio Bale server mentions what would be the programming difficulty of allowing conjurers and necromancers, or I guess any casting class really, to set their pet appearance. But you have.
You mean like the horde, like the mounts?
No, I think they're talking about their actual battle pets.
Programming-wise, it probably wouldn't be very difficult to give you like a list of appearances, but from a design perspective, I don't know if they would want to provide that capability or if they want the pet to represent, you know, visually what he is.
Right.
It'd be one of those things that if the design team wanted to... go down that road, that I don't think it would be very difficult for us to implement something like that.
Right, and we do have the pedomorph wand,
right?
Available.
They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they work on your main controllable pet, or is it the reverse? They work on your controllable pet.
They work on controllable pets, but not the fluff pets.
Okay, that's what it was. I remember having this conversation a couple weeks ago about trying to improve those pedomorph wands so they were a little more usable.
Yeah.
Because I don't use them because I don't have a battle pet. You know, I have fluff pets that I can call up, but they're not usable on that type.
Yeah. So, I guess there you have it. That's what the pedomorph wand was supposed to be for.
There you go.
I guess. So, I don't know.
But you know, the only caster I have is Crema, and she's a necromancer.
Yeah.
And I guess what they're trying to say is like she always has Fred out until she goes to go battle, and she pulls out a different version of Fred, which is more, you know, kick-ass guy. Because Fred's the one she's got is a caster, and the other one. But I don't see pulling out the that one and making him look like the other one, because everybody would think he was the caster instead of the tank one.
Well, I can see that being an issue on the PvP servers, but not on the other ones, really.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one from my personal notes. Coughing. No. okay,
he's dying.
Okay, from my personal notes, it's always been, you know, big on my list, and I always ask anyone that comes to Sony, comes to my show, about this. In EverQuest 1...
I just know it.
In EverQuest 1, Rangers could use two-handed weapons.
Mm.
Jethel had a halberd in EverQuest 1. I would love to be able to use a pole arm or halberd again. Why can't Rangers use two-handed weapons?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. It's like, there was all those restrictions when EQ2 first came out. Like, you know, Crusaders couldn't use bows and things like that. So I guess all that was just a decision that was made really early on in the game design about what types of weapons each class could use. And maybe they would consider changing that one day. But it's a good point. If you can use them in EQ1, it doesn't seem like there's anything in the lore that would be able to keep you from using them. So I don't know if they thought it was a balance thing or what.
Yeah,
I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, because in EQ1, we're more a melee class, really. In EQ2, we are more of a ranged class.
Right. I mean, yeah, I can see that point. You know, keep the range in Ranger is one of Jethel's taglines. But then again, you like Torin says.
I'm laughing. Rothgar just turned into Nagathen.
Oh yeah, we have Nagathen in your house here, Trudy. For Matharius.
He fits too.
Just barely.
I think your tail's sticking out of the wall. Ah!
Okay, so what's the possibility of hiring you for our next
video?
For our next video, for you just to, you know.
We might be able to work something out.
Hey,
then I could actually do a video to Here Comes Nagathen.
Right. You can't hire me.
It's so hard.
I can't be paid to do it, but I might be able to hop in and help out.
Ooh, that would rock. We'll let you know if you want to do that.
Getting down to I mean, Nagathen's easy to get to for me, but it's so dark down there, it's hard to film him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he just doesn't take direction very well. He just looks at me funny. And
he looks at you and calls you a foolish mortal. What is that?
Ooh.
Oh, that's Vox.
Yes, a miniature Vox. Oh, how pretty.
Now, wait
a
minute.
Just a little Vox.
Oh, you turned
just
to ice. You had the unicy version on. There they go.
Very pretty.
There she is. Oh, she's undead and stuff. That's cool.
Well, yeah, she is. Now. Pretty.
I actually deleted that quest.
What?
To put down Vox.
I don't think I ever picked it up.
I deleted it because I figured there's no possible way I was ever going to get a raid group to go slay Vox. But I think you ought to battle Matharius here. He just said he was going to slay you. So just target Matharius and do slash kill. Well, what is the name of this dragon?
I can never pronounce it, but he's in...
This is Venacor.
Venacor. And he's down in the Feerot over at Kazakh Thule.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. He has a nice... spiel that he goes through when you battle him, and he's pretty cool.
Yeah,
True Flight is just telling me, True Flight from the Antonia Bale server says, yeah, sure, do one, have Rothgar come in, help out with Here Comes Nagathen, and have Nagathen walking down the roads of South Kinos.
Oh, God.
and then we'll have like half the server over there as actors going, run away! and then we'll all scatter away and you can breathe fire on us. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah,
I like this one dragon because he's smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Grinning.
But do you really want to trust a smiling dragon?
only from a distance.
And that's the one from Sinking Sands.
Yeah.
Siamak,
yeah.
We had him in the noob video.
Yes.
There was another video we had him in, too, but I can't think of it right now. He's very pretty. Very pretty.
Weren't those dragons supposed to attack Maj Jewel randomly?
I'm not sure. I mean, they're out there in Pillars of Flame.
I thought I understood when Maj Jewel, when Sinking Sands was being brought up, that Siamak and there's another dragon out there, I guess, were supposed to attack Maj Jewel randomly. Perhaps I could have misunderstood.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm only aware of what they do now, which where you can turn the NPCs into the dragons and fight them inside Maj Jewel.
That may have been it.
You can do that.
You can turn the NPCs into dragons in Maj Jewel?
Mm. Well, the human forms of Siamak and Baraka or whatever are in there. And part of the quest line turns them into their dragon form and you can fight them.
I think I've done that, but I sort of don't quite remember.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Now, Toxula?
Toxulia.
I love what they did with that. She breaks out and flies around the zone and
she ran me over.
Zone-wide, announcements that she's flying and stuff. And yeah, she just about ran you over that one time.
I've got a screenshot up on kithacore.org. Well, I just hit one of the discs to go from the Tox area back to Peniel, and just as I hit the disc, boom, the ground rumbles as Toxulia takes to the air, and she ran me over. But that was a great screenshot, though.
They come really close at times.
Turn it to interrupt.
No.
That was a slideshow. I want to know why in the world they changed the official lore for the trolls.
What do you mean?
The original lore stated that Inaruk created the trolls. Now, according to EverQuest.com, not EverQuest 2, but EverQuest.com for EQ1, they changed it to say the Khazix Thul created them.
Oh, okay, I know what you're talking about now.
And I know that at one point it said Inaruk, because that's why trolls are not allowed in the Legion of Kithacore. Because trolls were the only true evil race. Now, of course, you turn yourself into Inaruk, but you kept your clothes on.
Yeah, that was
so
kind of weird,
we couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Well, the avatar of Inaruk is a troll.
Is a troll. I don't know. But then again, they were trying to tell us that Kithacore Forest was cursed by Khazix Thul because he tripped over a root. Give me a break.
Oh my god.
What kind of
lore
is that?
Yelled and screamed about that.
Yeah, we had a whole show devoted to continuity, the inconsistencies between EverQuest 1 and EverQuest 2.
Yeah.
But you also have to remember that EverQuest 2 is not EverQuest 1.
According to Smedley.
It's an alternate reality.
We had our own cataclysm.
Yeah, that's it.
500 years ago.
Long, long time ago.
So it offshot us. Is there anything that we haven't touched on already that you'd want to talk about?
Not that I can think of. Not that I can think of.
Alright.
There's a lot of stuff going on, but we're working on still things for Velius, even though it's just around the corner. There's always tweaks and things going on till the last minute, and a lot of a couple of things that we're doing now we haven't really released yet. So,
all right,
we can't talk about them yet. But
I'm looking forward to seeing what all these mystery gifts are going to be.
Oh yes, we have we were told what one of the six mystery gifts are going to be.
The wolf. Hmm. Oh my god, I love that thing.
But you know what?
Those mystery gifts.
I saw the LON.
The three-legged wolf.
It's three-legged?
Is it three-legged?
No.
No.
It's just the artwork. Right? One of the legs is kind of hidden in the artwork, so it looks like he has three legs. So we joked about him being a three-legged wolf.
I didn't even see that. I was too glued at the fact that, it's a wolf! Yay!
But the LON cards have a loot card that is a flaming
ice wolf. I look at the picture.
Want
it. It's a three-legged wolf.
Want it.
He hops really fast.
Yeah.
It's really, you thought the movement of the rhinos was bad. Wait till you get the three-legged wolf movement. Okay.
And the fourth wolf is available in the station marketplace. I mean, the fourth leg.
The fourth leg.
The fourth leg.
If you don't want your horse, if you don't want your mount to hobble around, I know you can make like a pirate wolf and have like a peg leg.
Yeah. Oh, God, we need a bat.
So when it runs, it will go.
You know, some people have. I don't know if you know Greg or not. Is Velius? Can you pre-order Velius already?
What's that now?
I think so.
So, in order to get the rewards for December, you don't have to have Velius pre-ordered yet, right? It's just you have to have an account in good standing and paid up.
Account so in good standing, paid up, and you have to activate it within 2011.
I don't want to get my promotions mixed up and say the wrong thing, because we're doing a few different promotions, so there should be information about it on the website.
Yeah,
I just hate to say something that's incorrect.
Okay.
or combine multiple promotions and tell you the wrong
thing. It just says starting in December and ending in February, active EQ2 live subscribers and EQX gold and platinum members with accounts in good standing, who purchased the upcoming EverQuest 2 Dynasty of Velius expansion will receive a set of in-game items as complimentary subscription rewards each month.
Hmm. Yeah, so you have to keep your subscription open during those months, and you get a different one each month.
Alright.
And then at the end, I think you get the big one or whatever if they...
Yeah, because the one that's coming up next Wednesday says requires an active paying subscription in good standing on December 14th. Items rewarded, one per character. And then when you finally get down to the ones in February, then that one says requires that the player be qualified for both the December and January rewards and has purchased the EverQuest 2 Destiny of Velios. So... Mm-hmm. You need to be in good standing as of December 14th to get on these rewards. They still haven't shown what the mystery items are yet.
Right.
Solaris.
Want to keep it going.
Okay.
Solaris asks, where do we have to buy the expansions? And I guess meaning, do you have to do the digital download, or can you buy them from the store?
Both options will be available this year. We have a retail box for this one, but you can also do the digital download. And unlike last year, where we had a retail presence for a week before the digital download is available, they'll be available through digital download and retail at the same time on the launch day.
All
so
right.
You can get it either way.
Excellent. All right, well, it's 9 o'clock. Time to wrap it up. Ralphgar, I want to thank you very much for showing up here on the Death of Silverwing show.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
You're always welcome to come back anytime you have any announcements or you just want to hang out.
Turn into dragons
into
people's hot tubs. Yep.
And definitely, if you do decide to use 12 Days of Frostfell or any other of my Frostfell songs for your housing light up, I would definitely love to have a copy of the video for it. And we'll, of course, we'll promote the crap out of it on the show and on Kithacore.org.
And Facebook.
And Facebook and
Twitter.
For sure.
If I've got your permission, then I'll definitely use one. I'm thinking that 12 Days of Frost would be an awesome animated sequence.
Yeah, I've always said, and for the record, Sony Online Entertainment has permission to use any of my work in their promotions or whatever. As long as... My only thing, you know, I get tells from or messages from, hey, do you mind if I do a video of one of your songs? Whatever. As long as you don't try to take credit for my work, then I don't care. Just at the end of it, you know, music by Gentle Silverwing, Kithacord.org. That's fine. But I just hate it when someone tries to take credit for my work.
Yeah, that's just wrong.
That's a big no-no with me.
Well, nobody's done that, so you're good.
Well, not since the incident on the radio.
Yeah, we won't get into that. That has nothing to do with EverQuest. That happens to do with a stupid country station here in Washington State, and the DJ absolutely sucks eggs, okay? So, enough said. That pissed me off royally.
Well, I'll explain the Rothgar, so you may not know. I wrote a parody. It's kind of a song response to Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, Carrie Underwood.
And it's basically, the song is basically... how we call the cops, get the girl arrested for trashing his truck.
Because he was really out with his mom.
And all you saw
That's
was...
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I wrote the song, and I submitted it to a local radio station.
Country station.
To a country station. It's like, hey, what do you think of this? Because, you know, they play the song every day back then when all this happened. And he wrote back, hey, that's great. We're going to use it on the show, you know. And I had recorded the song and everything.
Underscore the word use.
Use, yeah. And perhaps I didn't realize what they were talking about, or maybe the guy's just an ass.
He's an ass.
But I finally, you know, after weeks, you know, I've been missing it and missing it. Finally, I turn on the radio station as I'm going to work. And coming up after the commercial break, the response to Carrie Underwood's Before He Cheats. Oh, great, I'm finally going to get to hear it. And the commercial ends, the song starts, and he's singing it.
Oh, with your words and everything?
He ripped my song off.
Yeah.
Oh, Elquin called them at the station.
I was shaking. I was so mad.
And ripped them a new one, and he hadn't played it since.
Nope. He apologized to him.
He apologized on the air.
And never used it again.
Never used it again.
He could not argue his way out of it, saying that, used parts of it, and this, that, and another. It's like, you know...
I posted the song on Kithacord.org a week before he used it, so there's no way he could dispute it, that it was mine.
Oh, anyway. Sorry to hear that happen.
Okay, well, there we go. Thank you very much for showing up, and I hope those some of those things that you made notes on get implemented in the game.
Rothar's great.
You rock.
Thanks.
I love your power notes.
Power notes. I've got them all down here. I will discuss them at the parties.
The power of the notebook.
The power of the notebook.
And if you guys ever need, you know, a voiceover or anything like that, I know, I have to belong to the Voice Actors Guild.
We'll see about getting you into it somehow.
Come on, there's got to be a drunken dwarf plot I can do! Yeah.
Let me redo the voice for the guy that's in the down below.
No, he's perfect.
If I don't have what you want, you don't need it.
That's the guy in the down below, under the willow wood. You approach him, and that's what he says. That's actually where I got the drunken voice, the drunken dwarf's voice from.
Can you do the Crunchies one?
I'm sorry, Crunchy?
Yeah, you know the one I'm talking about his wife's Crunchies. Have you tried my wife's Crunchies?
He's over in Starcrest, isn't he?
It's either Starcrest or Nettleville or something like that.
I don't know that one, but I can... Have you tried my wife's Crunchies? Yeah, I can do that, yeah.
Yeah, it's really funny. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll have to.
You better take it.
Seen Vandis?
What's that?
Vandis,
have you seen Vandis? That one's also funny.
You know, the one I like is the one in Wailing Caves.
What did
he say?
He
did the voice of Sim.
Oh, him. Cogburn.
I did an interview with the... I used to do NPC interviews, so I interviewed him.
That was funny.
His voice is really cool. You can tell it's the guy who does Zim. Invader Zim.
Oh, I'm being asked, because folks that went to the 2010 fanfare are getting Velios for free, does that count toward the new awards we were talking about?
I've heard that brought up, and I don't recall what the answer was. I would suspect it does. That's just, you know, the way it seems to me, but I would need to get the official answer on that, but I can't imagine that there would be an issue with that counting.
Yeah,
that would probably be
a really good issue to post on the EQ forums.
Yeah, definitely.
And that may be where I've seen it. I know I saw that brought up, and I'm pretty sure it does, but I would need to double check to be sure. And I'll bring it up and say, if they, you know, give me any lip about it, I'll smack them around and go, "What are you thinking?" I'm just kidding. I like my job too much. I don't want to get fired.
Yeah. Alrighty then. Rothgar, thank you so much for coming by the show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And we're going to end off tonight, of course, with my world-famous ending shtick. And a whole bunch of Frostfell songs. What the heck? All right, folks, Gentle Silverwing Show for the 7th of December. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week when, remember, the Legion of Kithacor Frostfell Party will be taking place, Legion of Kithacor Guild Hall, during the show next week. During the show next week, I got a little Frostfell area all made up. We'll have a good old time. If any of the dev team, anyone from Sony, Rothgar, by all means, if you and Amiris want to come on by. We're going to try to have a good old time there and see what happens. And also next week, my mom will be visiting from the East Coast, so I'm all excited about that. All right, folks, see you next week. Jethel out.
Well, that's it. You've wasted another night listening to the Jethel Silverwing Show. I'm your host, Jethel Silverwing.
I'm Elkwin Jenna.
I'm the Drunken Dwarf!
I'm Cheese and Nibblebuns!
This show is brought to you by Online Gaming Radio. Our technical advisor is Spike Link Death. Facts and Intelligence brought to us by The Grassy Knoll. The Jethel Show is produced by a 4-pound jar of jelly beans, 2 badgers, a package of expired Twinkies, a sack of walnuts, Biff, the weird guy who hands out free candy behind the school in a long trench coat down the street, and a small rock.
Yay, rock!
Be sure to catch the show every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and 2 a.m. in the U.K.
There's a 2 a.m.? Why doesn't anyone tell me these things?
So, for myself, the Drunken Dwarf, Cheez-It, and my love, Elkwin Jenna, keep your arrows in the air and your feet on the ground.